New International Version, 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. It reads, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." The word of our God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? God, we are grateful for this time and opportunity that we get to approach your word. God, we ask that you would continue to fill us, that you would continue to open our hearts, that we may receive from you. Lord, touch this earthen vessel of clay. Grant me your power to preach your gospel, that it may be encouraging to all. Lord, we thank you. We uplift you in Christ's name and through the aid of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you the type of person that when people tell you something, it holds limited weight? Meaning that you would rather someone show you than tell you? Yes, words matter, but sometimes you would rather see it played out. Do not tell me I deserve money and you don't ever want to give it to me. Do not tell me I look hungry and you do not offer to feed me. Do not tell me you understand how I feel or that you understand my pain, and yet you never have walked where I have walked. This morning, I want to talk to you from this subject, unseen but felt. Unseen but felt. Listen, there is two types of persons in my mind. People who talk about doing stuff and people who actually do it. And let me make it clear, this message is simply about the acting power and doing of Christ on last week, but also forevermore. Not only did Christ live, but Christ died for us. And he did die so that we may experience this refreshing power of God's grace over death, hell, and resurrection, and sin. And we know that if we focus on God, if we give it to him, he understands our pain. This morning, I want you to know that Christ was not merely doing and not merely saying, but he also feels how we feel. Now, Peter was having to encourage people who are slaves to their circumstance, people who feel trapped and alone. And he's writing and addressing people through his only means of communication and trying his best to give them an essential message to help them prevail over their situation. He cannot visit them. He could not touch or hold their hand. He is left to his own means of social media, pen and paper. And so Peter is writing, and he says something essential to them that we will take from this message today. That not only did Christ die, and not only did he rise again from the dead, but he also lived. Why is this important? Well, let me read again to you from verses 7, 8, and 9. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even through refined by, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The case I would like to make to you is that while telling people about the experience, Peter knows that that will not be enough. He wants them to know that more than just words, Christ feels. Maya Angelou, the infamous and renowned author, said, "People will forget the things you do, and people will forget the things that you say, but people will never forget how you made them feel." The writer, through Peter's words, wants us to know that even though we may not see or may never have seen Christ, we can still feel him. It is easy to find joy when you are not the one who is sick. Easy when you are not the family burying their loved one. It is easy to have joy when your bills are paid for you and when you have a steady income. It's easy to rejoice. You can be uplifted by poetic psalmsters and hymns, psalters and hymns. But let me explain what Peter says and why he says there is a joy to those who suffer and are followers of disciples and disciples of Christ. It's not because he died, or not just because he died, but it's also because he lived. He proved that he feels this also. Let me explain what I mean by that. It was more than just dying. Right? Allow me to first clarify what I mean by it. It being the whole story of Christ, incarnation and death. Christ's public humiliation on Calvary. The nails and the thorns that were pierced into his flesh and the blood and water that flowed from his body down his feet onto the planks that held him extended in the air into the dirt below. We have so many reasons to rejoice because we know it did not end on the cross, but I implore you, church, to remember that it did not begin there either. It was also about Christ living. This is important because Christ did not suffer only when he was nailed and riveted on Golgotha's hill, but he cried when he lost Lazarus. He suffered when he was tempted in the wilderness. He lived also this suffering that we experience today. Peter says that Christ knows how we feel. Not just because of the cross in which we celebrated on last week, but he lived also that same suffering. Something that troubles me about Christians who focuses solely on Christ's crucifixion and ignore his incarnation is that they never understand the power of his living. We like the atonement of Christ, but forget about his life. This goes against everything that we know about heroes and exemplary figures throughout history. Their life becomes their legacy. Christ died, but he also lived. Christ proves by his earthly existence that our life and problems mean something. Because we are going through this COVID situation, we're going through this pandemic all around the world, we know that we're not suffering alone. Christ also understands our pain. He understands our current situation. How do we know that? Because he lived in the flesh. He lived. Now, Peter says, it means that the genuineness of our faith may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Christ proves by his earthly existence that our life and problems mean something by that phrase. That our genuineness of faith may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Now listen, I can't hear you. And I'm not looking at my phone to see what you're saying via comments. But listen, that is a shouting point all by itself. And that is the genuineness of our faith may result in praise, glory, and honor. That is, you can shout through your circumstance because Christ also suffered and endured. And we too will endure this. And we can find hope in knowing that because Christ came before us. Our faith is more precious than gold, is what the writer says in scripture, and cannot withstand the fire, the testing. He's talking about gold. Gold cannot withstand fire. It starts to bend under the heat. It starts to melt under the heat. But the good thing about us as Christians is not only can we make it, but we come out better than gold when we have come out on the other side. Listen, when we come out of this situation, know that because Christ lived just as we lived, we have hope knowing that we will make it through this and we will come out better than what we were before we went in. Now listen, I told Dr. Freeman he couldn't yell and everything because he's right next to the mic, but he didn't hear me. So if he's out overpowering, you know what I'm saying, y'all, just he's happy. Our faith is more precious than gold. Christ not only died for us, but he lived to prove that he knows and feels our pain. It was more than just dying. And then my second point, and I only have one more and I'll leave you, is it is more than just words. It being Christ's death. Christ being nailed on a cross to me is more than just a means of salvation. His death was also an example of love. It was transformative. It is unique to Christianity and makes us who we are. We can feel Christ because Christ feels and felt for us through his dying. Now, he may not have had just your name on his mind when he was on the cross, but he had your situation on his mind. You see, we're not the first ones to go through a pandemic, and we won't be the last. We're not the first ones to suffer through monetary issues, and we won't be the last. We're not the first ones to suffer sickness, and we won't be the last. Christ may not have thought about us, but he thought about our affliction on the cross. It was more than just dying. It was more than just words on a cross. Father, forgive them. It was more than that. It was also love that held him there. And listen, let me give you an example about what I mean by that. If you've ever lost someone, if you've ever really felt what it feels like to lose someone close to you, when somebody sends a card and when somebody says they're praying for you, it doesn't do the justice that you need for your situation. And you can be real about that. Sometimes People can have the best intentions by what they say, but if they've never walked where you walked, then they don't really understand your problem. If you have never lost a child, don't tell me I feel your pain. Right? If you've never lost a mother or a father, then don't come up to someone and say, I feel your pain. But the good thing about Christ's death, hallelujah, is not only can he say he feels our living, our current situation, but he also knows the pain of death. And he came to let you know that even through death, he still has the victory and we still have the victory. Christ knows our pain through his death. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing. We know that it wasn't just words on a cross. We know that it wasn't just dying. But we know that it is love. It's understanding. And to those who do not believe or think that seeing is believing, let me tell you, there is something greater than that. Because faith tells us that even though we may not see, we have hope, right? If we have hope, if we trust and believe that he existed, then our faith will be made better. But listen, there is something more than just seeing. There is feeling. I feel sorry for those who only depend on seeing. I feel sorry for those persons who have never felt the power of Christ, who have never felt what he can do, who've never felt what comfort looks like when you are embraced by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is something different when you know that not just can people relate to you, but you have somebody who overcame death as well, that also feels your pain. And because of that, you feel him in the midst of your situation. And even though you may not see him, you can feel him. I know that there are also people who take the standpoint that worship is not just about feeling. You know, I'm not into the touchy, mushy, gushy stuff, right? And while I agree, worship is not just about the feeling. It's not just about this high spiritual state that you go into. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for blessing me, Lord. We thank you. And then you start speaking in tongues. Whatever that, I understand that worship is more than just that. I get it. Dr. Terry York says that worship is to, for, and about God. Anything that happens within worship concerning self is just the overflow from our worship to God. This is what that means, that in your worship, in your reflection, in your time that you embrace God, if you take this one thing with you, and that is, hallelujah, that when you worship him, you also get something back. That he will fill you with his power. He will fill you with his love. Yes, it's not just about the feeling, but when you worship him, when you give him praise, when you know that you know that you know that you know that he came, that he died, and you can worship him despite your circumstance, despite this virus, despite being trapped at home, when you know that you know that you know, then you also get something back, and that is a feeling that nobody can take away from you. The old saints would say, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. This joy that's inside of me comes from my true worship. And if you've never worshiped God, if you've never experienced him in your pain, I dare you to worship him. I dare you to not worry about the television screen or who's sitting in the living room or the kitchen or who's laying with you in your bed, but to worship him, to worship him. We get excited as Christians for one reason when we hear lyrics. because it means something to us. We feel the words in songs like the blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day to day, it will never lose its power. There's a reason why we get excited about that. We get excited when we hear lyrics like, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And let me tell you, the reason why we get excited is because we know that Calvary was not just him dying. It was more than words on a cross. It was more than just his death. We know that he had us in mind. He had our situation in mind. And no matter what you are going through, no matter the situation, Christ understands. He knows all about it. The final thing I want to do is circle back around to the first three verses. And it's quick. It's a good thing that we have it. And listen to it. Listen to what he says. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Listen, beloved, it is a living hope. It's a hope that you can feel. It is a result of your faith. In church, we know that even though it may not be seen, there is a feeling of hope. You can have hope in the midst of your circumstances. You can have hope in the midst of your trials. You can have hope in the midst of your afflictions. You don't have to worry because heaven is already here. When we pray to God, when we continue to lift God in our worship, we have heaven here on earth. You don't have to wait to die to live again. You can live right now, even though there are situations that you are going through. You know that there is a salvation that was given to us, not just for the remission of sin, but so that we can have life and life more abundantly. We thank God that even though it is unseen, it is felt. I pray that you have been touched, and I pray that you understand something about Christ and his living, Christ and his death. That also in our living, we have to give ourselves to him completely. I want you to join us in just a line or two of that. I give myself away.
Give my myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Take my heart, take my life as a living sacrifice. All my dreams, all my plans, Lord, I place them in your hand. I give myself away. I give myself away. Away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
Listen, there is hope in knowing that Peter's message to the various churches scattered throughout Asia Minor was suffering their own pain. And that message is still relevant today. The message that even though we cannot see Christ, even though we may have never seen Christ, there is also a feeling, an undeniable feeling, a feeling that will go through you, that will stick with you, even when all else seems to be wrong in your life. And this is one thing I want to let you know, as he was talking to this church in Asia Minor, as they were going through their situations, as they were experiencing all of these different phenomenons, they were also being talked about. There are people talking about the church today. Where will the church be after this pandemic? Where will Christians be when all of this is over? Nothing will go back to being the same. But listen, the church has been tried by fire, and the church will come out more strongly than it did before it went in. We have a hope in knowing that this is not the end. This is only the beginning for something new. There will be a new church, a more brilliant church, a church that is better equipped to handle what life throws at it. And we're grateful about it. Unseen but felt. Would you now receive our benediction? And after the benediction, would you receive a blessing and receive these words? May his peace be with you.